Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, that you may just quicken our mind and our hearts, that we may receive, that we may hear, Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to connect with you and to apply it to our lives. We just praise and thank you in Jesus' mighty name for the things you're going to do even today, Lord, and we open our heart to you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've been, doing lots of teaching on different things, correcting some of the ideas that in the little while have been spreading everywhere. And what I want to do today is start a new series, in which, I'm going to explain, some of the things that actually are still valid today that we need to understand about how to become an overcomer. God clearly wants us to have victory in our life. And we have to understand what that means. We have to understand how to apply it. And we have to understand what involves for us the things to do. And the important thing we have to remember is that what we have to do has to be in the Word. Not go beyond the words. Just be the things that Jesus or the Scriptures say. Because when we are there, we are in solid ground. When we go beyond that, then we are in just man's ideas. And the difference is that the type of impact, the type of results we are going to get are different. Okay? When we start to do things man's way, it's going to be much more work. And it's going to be much more difficult to get the result that we expect to come. We had to learn to do that. You know, there is the scripture that's been used, so much in the last little while, quite a while, I must say, 3 John 1, 2, that says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And this has been used to make, Christianity something that we are looking for prosperity and from health and nothing else. And then the end of the verse is actually the one that is basic to give substance to all the other part of the verse. God wants those things for us. But what he cares more than anything else is the way our soul is doing. We have to understand that, and we have to understand the implications of that. That's a wonderful scripture, but when it's distorted, end up being used as basis for materialism, when instead in Christianity, that thing, that shouldn't work. Okay, so we have to understand that. And we have to understand the way God works, to be able to connect with him, to be able to know how we connect with really the scripture that came to my mind was in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts.'" Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. Hallelujah. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. And really, that's really a summary of really what we really need to understand. Okay? That the way to get moving mountains, okay, is by the Holy Spirit. Is by the not our power, not our abilities, but the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and helping us to overcome whatever mountain or whatever situation or whatever problem we encounter. God wants to help us, but we had to approach the whole thing the way Jesus did. And this is what I've been stressing recently about the fact that, you know, we had to learn to walk the way Jesus walked, the way he ministered, the way he did things. And the basic thing is really to understand his attitude, his position, his relationship with the Father. That's what is critical for us to embrace and to understand. Okay, he is our example. He came to give us our example. He came to show us, and you know, all the things that he did, they were all a purpose for, and we can learn from him, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to understand this and understand, use it for the way we approach the whole, our walk with God. Okay, and it's basically, it's based very clearly in what it says in many places, you know, that he was not doing his own will, but was doing the will of the Father. He was in himself, he could do nothing but what he saw the Father doing. John 5:19-30, you know, those is what he emphasized in his walk. That's what he's implemented, and he produced the power in him that did the works that he did. Okay, he limited himself to just operate and function as us, although he was God. And he functioned that way so that we can learn from him. Otherwise, we cannot learn because we are not God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. And he understands us, the struggle we go through. He understands it, the difficulty we encounter because, you know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Okay. Now we can see he was tempted, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11, you know, talks about that and shows how he did it. We can learn from him how we can overcome. We have an example. And the example that he has is, first of all, his attitude that he has and the connection he has with the Father. That's number one thing. And then it's the obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit and the Father so that he could do the things that the Father was showing him and was doing. This is very important. And really, the bottom, you know, of the whole concept is already presented in the Old Testament with Proverbs 3 to 5, 3, 5 to 10. This is in itself, in those scriptures, give us all the indication of what the way God wants to do for us, how he's going to do it. Okay, and I'm often using this, but this is one of the basic principles that we can use that is valid today, and is valid also in the Old Testament equally. And the principle is to say, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. You know, that means, you know, trust in the Lord is something that we often say we do, but in reality, there is a difference between what we say and what we do. And our action shows it that. Okay? So the fact is, trusting the Lord and not depending on your understanding is something that goes against our flesh and our mind. We want to be in control. And what we have to learn, what she's showing us here, is that he has to be in control, actually. And so goes on and says, you know, in a way you acknowledge him, okay? And Ria is more just that acknowledge the way we intend it, but the word is yada, which actually means, you know, that you are experiencing and walking with him. You are actually knowing him in his work and in his activities, and you are connected with him. And he shall direct your path. This is when we get direction. And we now have the Holy Spirit that works in us. and is there just for that purpose. So we are even an advantage with respect to what was in the Old Testament. They dwell in us, okay? But see, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, here, the fear of the Lord, I've been just finishing talking about that in a series of meetings. Okay, and really, that's what makes the difference. This is what gives us the wisdom. That what can make us sensitive to the things that God wants us to do. Okay, now, praise the Lord. The following verses, you know, and then God shows the benefits that are going to come up. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So, you know, your health is going to be taken care of. Not only that, okay, but, you know, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of your increase so that your barn will be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. Praise the Lord. So that means, you know, your affairs are going to be taken care of. You are not going to have problem in that area. So really, the problem concept is the same, but it starts from the beginning. The first two verses are the critical for the other one to take place. Okay? Okay. So, and then it goes on and there's a little more correction. Okay? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son, whom he delights. So, you know, here he's saying something that, in addition, is very important to understand. Okay, first of all, you know, don't blame the devil, you know, and believe that the devil is in control. He's not. He's just able to do only what he's allowed to do. The second point that you can make there is don't blame God and complain when you are corrected. Because, as you see, in many places, you know, in the Bible, including, you know, Psalm 87, you know, it's very clear that doesn't please God. That gets you in trouble instead. Okay? So, Jesus showed us how to walk. And this is really, you know, what he did. He showed us the way to walk, explain what the truth is, okay, and give us life of God inside us so that we can function and operate with that thing, that life inside us, instead of the darkness of the world. Okay. So, well, the first things that we have to understand to be able to walk in victory, okay, is the fact that God is in control. And we have to understand that. And there is not much teaching on that generally because, you know, there are different ideas about it. But really, you know, what we have to do is to really go to the Word and see the way God is in control. See the way God functions. See the way things. And I'm not going to do that today in detail, but I'm planning to do that because I believe that many believers do not really fully understand the way he operates and functions. But I want to just read a few verses on that. Okay. The thing is, one of the things you have to really believe that the devil is not in control. Because if the devil is in control, that means he can beat you anytime. But he can't. Because he's been defeated. And he's not in control. Okay? And the Bible shows very clearly that God is the one who's in control of everything. But we have to understand that because there are different interpretations and two major ones that I'm just going to. But what I'm going to do, okay, just give you some scripture to start with to get this idea starting to work in you. First of all, Psalm 103, verse 10 to 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." That seems to me covers everything. Okay, but we have to understand what the meaning of that. See, just one scripture, you cannot make any sound doctrine just from one scripture. sometimes even two. You have to find out, get the whole counsel of God and come up to your conclusion. If there is something that is contradiction to what you believe, you have to throw away your beliefs and change it. Okay, so here is no saying that God, you know, does everything that happened. Verse, you know, Psalm 115, verse 9 says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. You see, that even increased that kind of an idea. Okay, well, but there are so many hundred scriptures. You know, I'm not going to be exhausted here. I'm just going to give you some thoughts, some ideas on that. For example, okay, Psalm 34, verse 7 says really clearly, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. So you see, there you can see God operating, actually being, you know, functioning for the people that fear them and helping them and protecting them and doing things in a regard that actually not just in a mechanistic way, but in a personal way. Okay? When we understand that and start to see that this is repeated all over in the Bible, we can see the way God functions. Okay? And it's not just according to general spiritual laws. He is personally involved in our life and personally intervene when the situation warrants it. Let me continue here. Okay. In First Peter, now let's go to the New Testament because that, you know, it kind of talks to us a bit more, but that's the same thing here says. First Peter 5:6 says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So you see here it says something very specific in which God himself respond to your position, your internal position. As you humble yourself, God is there caring for you. And this is in a personal way. Again, and this is very interesting and important to understand. Okay. In you know, going back to the Old Testament, in Proverbs 16, verse 6 and 7 says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. But by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. See, I mean, this fear of the Lord comes up all the time because this is one of the ways we understand how to connect with him. And it's nothing to do with fears, actually. And we explained that, so I'm not going to get into that. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, let me continue here. And the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him. I mean, that's really a pretty nice promise, wouldn't you say? I mean, and this is again, okay, this actually is an intervention of God to orient, to direct even the enemies to be in your favor, to be connecting with you in the right way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Going back to the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verse 13, says there, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Okay, now we can see that there is again is a question of understanding the way God works in our situation. See, when we start studying the way God functions in general, then we understand better what happens when he deals with us. And we know what to expect. Few verses after, in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of light, where there is no variation or shadow of turning. And this is another big topic, but really it's interesting that, first of all, God give us only good things. And second, okay, is, you know, is always the same, but we have to see what always the same means. Okay, God responds to what our position, what we do. We just read that before. So doesn't mean that God, you know, is always the same, because if God is always the same and you are not saved, nothing you can do anymore. Okay? In fact, God, you know, see your repentance, see your changement, and so accordingly respond to you. So actually there is a personal response to your activity, to your response, to what you do. And is what you do makes a difference. The position of your heart and the action that you take are all component of the way God is going to respond or deal with you. He deals with you as you deal with him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, understanding this is very important. Because when we know the way he works, then we can approach him in the right way. We can approach him in a way that is going to be profitable for us too. Okay? And there is nothing wrong with that. That's something that any wise person would try to do. That's wisdom. Knowing how to handle and how to deal with practical situations in your life. I'm going to have another one here, you know. In his own will, that's the continuation of the verse I said before, you know, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we may be kind of first fruit of his creation. So this is the plan that he had. This is the plan he has implemented. This is a good plan for us, so that we may actually be the result of what he is planning for us. Hallelujah. So, this shows show in general the attitude of God. Number one, that he is interested and cares for us. Number two, that he's actually in control of the situation. It's not the devil, he's in control of the situation. Although you look at the world, it looks like it's this thing, but that's just a deception. Okay. And second, you know, and finally, okay, that he actually take care of you. He's just, you know, wanting to help you, wanting to bless you. Okay? And he's more than willing to intervene in your life, in your situation, to enable you to receive, to enable you to bless. And in fact, he gave all the instruction that we need in the Word. The Word provides all the instructions so that we can overcome all the negative situations in our life. See, this is what he is very clearly say, for example, in the book of Revelation, in which he emphasizes, you know, the final result of our walk. Okay, in Revelation chapter 3, there are a number, you know, talking about the different churches. They always end up with the same type of sentence, and I'm going to read just one instead of all the seven, because just give you the intention, the direction that God has. Okay, for to him, chapter 3, verse 21, after saying, you know, I knock at the door, and if you open up, we're going to, you know, have a supper together. Okay, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also be overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. See, and this is really what, you know, is saying for all the churches in some way or another, you know, that God's intention is for us to be overcomers, to be able to overcome the things negative in our life, to overcome the things, you know, to be receiving from God whatever we need. That's what Psalm 23 very clearly saying, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay. And that is really God's intention, God's plan, God's things that he wants to implement, but is according to his way, not necessarily according to our way. And we have to understand that, because we cannot impose on God how he's going to do it. See, that's what Jesus did. He followed the Father's direction in obedience, saying, "Your will be done, not mine," and that brought him to complete victory. The victory, greatest victory that any victory ever anyone conquered. Something that we can do ourselves, so that we can have victory in our own life. Through his power, through his direction, through his gift of the Holy Spirit, that sent for us, so that we may have the internal direction that is stronger and greater than all the direction that we can think in our own mind. They give us God's wisdom available to us to approach situations in our life with his wisdom, not ours. Hallelujah. But the key there is that we must be able to hear him. Okay. That has been what we also said about the people that would not hear them, and what prophesied was by Isaiah, the fact that, you know, these people have ears, but they do not hear. They have eyes, but they do not see. Okay, and the whole issue there is in the heart of the person being open or not open to God's direction. And that means to be open to God's direction, we had to be not biased in our hearing, because that's what our heart does. Our heart allows, is like a gatekeeper that keeps in or out the things that are in agreement with all inside there. When we are not in agreement with the things that are told to us, they just don't get through. And this is what blocks actually our ability to hear from God. We had to be listening without telling him what to do. See, that's probably the most basic truth and the most basic principle for us to apply if we want victory in our life. Because if we are not listening, then we are not going to know what to do properly to resolve our situation. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is the natural man, what the natural man or mind is going to try to do. We want to be in control. And in some things, we should be in control. But that's not, you know, when we get the direction, that's when we are going to get in control. That's when we are going to understand what to really do that is going to be effective. So, you know, one of the things that we are dealing to be overcomer is a question of overcoming what? Overcoming the things that are coming against us. And what, you know, and really, what are the things that are coming against us? Things that are really not the things that are good for us, one way or another, or the things that God wants us to as, or that obey him, or what, to we are deviated, changed, pushed around by the enemy, okay? And this is really when we are facing trials. See, overcoming our trials, this is what God wants to do for us. And this is very clearly in James chapter 1. Okay? There says something that the flesh doesn't like to hear, but it's very clear. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay. What we want to do when we fall in various trials is to complain. Because we don't like what we're going through. The thing is, what he's telling us there, okay, is really the way to overcome the trial. Okay. It's the way we have to look at the trial itself. Instead of complaining about the trial, we should have a completely different attitude, because we have to go not to the flesh attitude, but go to God's attitude. And God said, count it all joy. And that doesn't mean you go around jumping for joy because you're going to trials. That's not what it's saying. It's you count it all joy. Okay. And you count it for joy, why? Well, the reason is because knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's why you count it for joy. Because you are developing patience, and patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that's going to make you grow spiritually, to make you spiritually stronger instead of weaker. If you're complaining, you're not going to get patience there. But if you are starting to look at it from God's perspective, then you are going to have peace about it, and you are going to have the ability to connect with God. See, if you're complaining, it's because you wanted something different and don't want to go through the things you're going through at the moment. The thing is, you are going through, if you like it or not. So if you take the right attitude, God's instructed attitude, they say you to have, what happens is that you start contributing to the change inside you already. Because number one, you are developing patience. And if you develop impatience, you are not there complaining. You know, if you are patient, you are not complaining. You are going through this endurance. You endure through the things, you know, not necessarily enjoying the process, but you are cooperating with God to find the solution. Then you are going to be able to hear what God is saying to you. Otherwise, you won't hear, because you are trying to get your solution in, and your solution won't work as well as God's solution. He's a bit smarter. Okay? So we have to learn, okay, to adjust the way we respond by knowing what God is actually letting happen. Because if God didn't let it happen, it wouldn't happen. So that means he believes that you can overcome. Okay? So, but let patience have this perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, that means, you know, that you're going to get the result. You are going to lack nothing. You're going to get what you need. You're going to overcome. Okay, this is what it promises us. So anything that we go through, that we, you know, are struggling, that we are going through trial, instead of, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves, which is complaining, what we should do is actually, okay, rejoice. Why? Because we are in for a promotion. You overcome if you have, this is what Jesus said in Revelation, the way I said before, you know, when you hear what God is telling you and you do it, you know, you are going to overcome. You know, it could be a period of time that is not too pleasant, but, you know, as you follow God's step, you are going to grow out of it, and you are going to have complete victory over it. So what doesn't happen all the time? What doesn't happen all the time? Because we don't follow God's instruction. God doesn't lie. We have to start believing, trust, you know, the verse I read before, trust the Lord with all your heart, and depend, you know, lean not on your own understanding. It's pretty clear. We have to do that at the moment you may not understand it. And if you don't trust God, they're going to start complaining because, you know, you don't like what you're going through. And I'm not saying that you have to enjoy or like what you're going through. But if you take God's perspective, you know, you start working together with him. This is not my idea. This is not man's solution. This is God's solution. I didn't write these verses He gave it to us so that we may be able to overcome. We are going to be, you know, the patient that is perfect work. So when he completes his work, okay, you know, the maturity, you know, then we are going to have the things that overcome the situation. And that's what God promises here. Praise the Lord. I mean, no, it doesn't matter what situation you are in today. Start aligning your thoughts, your feelings, your ideas with God's methods. And you will see a change that takes place gradually, initially, and will accelerate as you get aligned more and more with God. And sometimes there is more than one thing that has to happen. And you don't know all those things. But the Holy Spirit function is to guide you into all truth and to bring you to victory. But if you give up before you start complaining, and you give up about the fact that God is want to help you, you're never going to get there. But if you start believing God and start holding fast to what, you know, what he said, holding after the fact that he promised and he made very clear statement here about what he will do, you are going to see coming to pass because God does not lie. Jesus was the one that went to the extreme. He, you know, obeyed God to the point of death, believing that he was going to be resurrected. God doesn't ask you to do that. God doesn't expect you such a great commitment because, you know, he has taken care of most of the thing with you. Now, he is there to help you whatever you go through, empowering you to overcome and to give you victory and to make you an overcomer in your situation. You can be assured about that. Okay? God, let me put it that way. You know, the devil cannot stop God to make you overcome. Now, God can stop the devil in what he's doing. And he says very clearly in his word that you're going to be tempted only to the degree that is allowed, that you can handle, that you can overcome. So you see, I mean, the word gives us all the information we need to be able to have our position and our stability in what we believe and not have to fear. When we are going to align ourselves with the way we think, with the way God thinks, then something spiritually happens within ourselves in which our patience is going to grow and our ability to cope with the situation is going to grow and we are going to start seeing changes taking place in us and we start, you know, start with our attitude and then start to manifest itself in actually result in different areas. Praise the Lord. But sometimes things don't happen as quickly as we like, and we had to realize that this is the time when we had to exercise our patience. Okay? But it's not just, you see, it's not just patience that we had to exercise. We had to open up to the direction of the Holy Spirit, to the information that we need to receive. Because the instruction don't stop there. There is more instruction there. Okay. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of James describes even more. Okay. For ask, you ask, and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasure. And really, you know, he's talking about motivation. You see, the result of our asking, you know, depends on the motivation we have. What is motivating us is important, okay? Praise the Lord. We have to understand that, because this is important to actually ask and receiving. And receiving there, the word again is, you know, lambano, which actually to be able to take the things that God wants to give us. Okay, we have to have the right motivation to do that. If it's just to spend it out in your pleasure and really not getting closer to God, doesn't get us anywhere. Okay, and continuing there is very clear. Our goals, our attitude, our motivations are critical for the type of results we are going to get. Okay, so in the following verse, James 4:4 says, adulterer and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you see, the friendship really, talking adulterers, is because, you know, it involves the love that we have for things. Okay, the love that we have for things, that actually, you know, is the same thing as, you know, value, the things that we value more, determines how close we are to God. The more we value God, the more the other things are less important. Okay, and here he's talking about really the choice of our value, the value that are within us, what motivates us to choose one thing or the other. Okay. And then goes on, says, you know, do you think that the scripture says in vain the spirit who dwells in us here jealously? And we can see that God wants us to love him or to value him more than anything else. When that doesn't happen, then that becomes an hindrance for us to receive. Our values are important. Our judgment are important. You see, this is what God sees inside us and responds to those things. So the way he's going to respond is really the way that we are positioning ourselves. Following verse comes to help us a bit. It says, but he gives more grace. You see, he doesn't do just straight the way he does. You know, even in Psalm 103, you know, talks, you know, he doesn't punish according to our transgression or our iniquities. Okay, he deals with us in compassion and in mercy. Okay, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And this is really the major secret, and that is actually the secret actually that Jesus operated, and anybody that get really big results with God always has that element of being humble to his direction, his will, his instructions. Okay, be willing to listen, be willing to open to him. Okay, and that he brings more grace. Grace means, you know, you get some freebie. Some extra things for you to bless us more than what you deserve. If we just believe for what you deserve, we wouldn't get very far. But he is merciful to us, and he's there to help us. Okay, God, you know, give more grace. Therefore, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So you see, this is the way to break through our own things. Just be humble before God to listen and accept things the way they are, trusting that he's in control. If we don't trust he's in control, you're banging against the wall. See, you have to believe that he's for you. God is for you, not against you. And so that enables you to know that what you have to do is to be with him, is to be connected with him, is to listen to him, is to trust in him, is to have confidence that he's going to come true, is to have, you know, to be open for him to really take your hand and walk you through. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. This is not my invention. This is what the Word of God says. And it works. Okay? If you are not there sweating to get it to work, you are not there trying to break the heavens to make it work. No, you are gently aligning yourself with God to get easy victory. Or the easiest victory that you can ever get in any other way. Because it's not you, it's not by might or not by power, yours, but it's by the Spirit, His power, working in you and working out the solution for you that otherwise you cannot break through. Otherwise, you would have resolved it already. Are you with me? You see, that's actually, see, you cannot walk with God just taking one scripture that you like to hear and all the others. No, it's the whole counsel of God. You put it together and all the scripture come together and contribute to the solution of all your problems. But if you don't know enough of the Word, then you're going to be stuck because the enemy is going to get you just when you don't know it. And he knows pretty well. He pokes you whenever he can. Okay, but he cannot poke you when in areas that you cannot overcome. You have to believe that. That's another scripture that we have to believe. You see, one scripture back up the other scriptures, and together they release the power of God in you as you accept them and believe them and apply to your life. Praise the Lord. You see, therefore, that's the conclusion of the story, and we can conclude because it's already 11:30 almost. And people want to have the banquet. Okay, says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It doesn't say, therefore, go and fight the devil. That's what people like to do. No, it says, Just simply submit to God. And we don't have to talk about this submitting part. And we have to expand on those two things because they're important. But, you know, and resist the devil, and he will flee. That means, you know, he picks up and go. What happened with Jesus when he was tempted? That's a typical example. I mean, he just said, you know, it is written, and spoke the word back when a temptation came, when he put the situation that he was had to face, and all the time. And finally, you know, he took the position and said, you know, you shall worship the Lord your God and only him. You know, and what did the devil do? He just left him. Just left him. An angel came and ministered to him. He didn't weren't there fighting against it. He just said the word at the moment in which the temptation came. This is what we had to learn to do. But if you don't know the word, he finds a way to throw an arrow at you and you don't have any shield to defend yourself. You need to be able to defend yourself. You have to have the shield that is going to block that activity that is being thrown at you. Resist the devil. We will talk more about that next week. Or maybe, I don't know, depends on, it's Christmas time, maybe something else. But anyway, we expand on this as we are going to, you know, look at what there are so many instructions in the Word for us to be overcomers. It just doesn't happen because we are so spiritually strong. It happens because we have the Word working in us and we let it work. We put it to work in us. Because in it, it's the power of God. It's powerful and effective to work and to show us and to bring us to victory. Praise the Lord. So, let's pray together. Okay. I hope that you got something today. Okay. You know, the scriptures have the answer to all our problems. And we had to go to the scriptures, okay, to base ourselves to develop our own strategies to overcome. But when we know enough of the scriptures, we can apply whatever we know. It's already, something is better than nothing. But the more we know, in the better position we are going to be to defend ourselves and to make progress quickly. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's close together in prayer. Father, thank you for today. We praise you for your word that is a power of God working in us, giving us the direction we need, the understanding that we need, the power to overcome all situations that we may face. We thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that open up the Word to us, to enable us to see the results in our life and to be overcomers. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your care. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.